The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another captivating episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. We've got a good show for you tonight. It's a big show. It's a huge show. I talked to some people. Everyone said it's the best show we've ever done.
Please don't.
It's warm outside. This Saturday is going to be icy. I just want to point that out real quick. And the reason I say that is I'm addressing this to Asa specifically because part of the reason you and I got sick last week was because of the weather. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's 60 right now. It's going to be 70 tomorrow. It's going to be down in the 30s with ice on Saturday, and then by, I think, Monday, it's in the 70s again.
No, it's later in the week. It'll be in the 70s. It'll be in the 40s and 50s.
Point is, it ain't going to be fun.
That's stupid.
Are you ready for round two?
Sure. I still got my cough medicine that'll let me sleep through the apocalypse.
You seem so different tonight than you did last night. It's like last night was our first show back, and or at least for me. And we were so alert. Lindsay listened to it. She said it was a great show. We were popping, like all three of us. And tonight, I kind of feel tired and you look tired and it's completely different.
I was at work today and just like midway through my shift, I got kind of woozy. And now I just have a pounding headache. I don't know why. I'm just so.
But you said before the show, maybe talking about the awfulness of wrestling forever will make you feel better. So
WWE will never be good again. I'm dead.
Can't confirm.
I'm dead again.
Can't confirm. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it tonight, though. We're going to talk about that tonight. Here's who you got on the panel tonight. We got Asa Gray, of course, at the end of the table.
Yes.
Ali Abear next to me.
Hello.
And then Dalton Anthony, the Big D.
Yo.
So, guys, let's start off just real quick. We won't talk about this too much, but another wrestler passed away this past week. Outlaw Ron Bass passed away. And I was never super familiar with his work, so I can't comment too much about it, but it's always sad when you see in this sport that we love so much, when you see somebody pass away. So our condolences, of course, go out to all the fans and family of Ron Bass. Just wanted to start the show off with that. So moving on past that, do you want to start on a good note or do you want to start on a bad note?
Well, we have to talk.
Let's start on the ridiculous note. One thing, Austin Lane, I saw this on his Facebook and I just have to mention it. So the best of the best Austin Lane posted, you have one free pass to ask me anything. This stays between us. And then he put the 100 symbol. Mm-hmm. Put this as your status and see what people ask you. And CJ Jenkins, you had this opportunity and you wanted to ask him, what's the most fun you ever had in a match and who was it with? He answers that 6 times on Sunday. That's a waste of time. You wasted Austin Lane's time. Austin, I'm so sorry about that. Okay. Let's just start with Fastlane. You want to get that out of the way?
Sure.
Yeah, because we're chomping at the bit.
We have happy stuff to talk about at the end of the show. So if we get really angry now, we can get really happy at the end.
So Fastlane was Sunday, and
I'll be so happy, Dalton.
I'm sorry.
Asa is staring a hole through Dalton right now, and it's very awkward. So Fastlane was Sunday. Real quick, what'd you guys think? I thought it was a show that aired.
It was shit. It was garbage. It was the worst.
Was the whole thing bad? Or
yes.
Do you think just
no? That's not true. Neville and Jack Gallagher.
Let's talk about that real quick because that's the one true highlight of the show. That was a great match. Great match. Brutal match. Some of that stuff was a little too brutal, and I feel like they didn't have to do it.
The headbutts were
a little much.
Well, I mean, like Dalton said, like they have the slaps down pat.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Gallagher has that timing down like crazy
because it just sounded so gross. But
they really did.
But oh yeah,
there was a couple. Oh my god, can we mention the one thing that we all went oh my god on
the German,
that snap German?
I was gonna say which one. There was like three.
Oh yeah, because he tried to at the very end of the match. Gallagher went for the suplex, and Neville just threw him like a sack of.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But I think the snap German was probably the sickest thing I've seen in wrestling in a while.
I will say
that was brutal. That match was brutal.
The first angle of that German was really gross. The first time you saw
it came down like his shoulder and his neck.
Yeah. But whenever you saw the replay, it didn't look as bad as it looked. Like
it still bounced. Yeah, like it still saw that bounce.
It still wasn't pretty, but like
it was pretty. It was gorgeous. Like. That was a sweet German, and I don't remember what you're talking about at the very end when Gallagher gets tossed off the top or whatever.
Because it looked like he just...
That was nasty.
That was another
one. Because
he
looked like he twisted his body and landed shoulder first, arm first, and that was scary.
It didn't look like it. That's exactly what he did.
Yeah. Amazingly enough, though, they both came out of the match okay. And I said this at the show, and I stand by it. Like, Neville, I've always a fan of him because he's a great wrestler. But his new character, his new feel that he has with him, like you said, Asa, that whole Game of Thrones feel, like with his logo.
The entrance,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just, man, he's on fire. He is truly king of the cruiserweights.
And I will say, and I think I even mentioned it on, like, when we were watching it, I really want him to start using the reverse Hurricane Rana as his finisher.
Yeah.
Because he did that whenever he was feuding with Zayn in NXT. Because they needed a bad guy in that, so they tried to like make Neville look a little bit more like he's gonna do whatever it takes and a little bit more backstabby.
Yeah.
And that was instead of doing the Red Arrow one time, he just did the reverse Hurricane Rana, and that looks gross.
Yeah, I watched a clip compilation today of like holy shit moves.
Yeah.
And that was in it, that exact one versus Zayn. And yeah, it is brutal. It's like a spike reverse of Hurricane Rana.
It's the one that I always wanted Kalisto to use as his finisher. Instead of the Cylinder del Sol, but his is the forward, just drives their heads. It's a standing Hurricane Rana, but he just drives their face into the mat.
Yeah.
Instead.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, and for a bad guy, that is, it shows what he can do.
It is.
And it's also super, like, you can easily set that up and like, you could kick somebody in the junk. And
but
then,
he busted out the, Red Arrow. The Red Arrow at the show. And I thought it was fitting. It was a fitting move to do at that moment. Mm-hmm. Like, that match was just off the chain. And if that was the only match we had to talk about, great show.
Yeah.
If that
205,
was
205 Live was great this week.
Yeah. But unfortunately it
was
not.
Which it was.
I didn't get to watch it.
It was really good. So to start my complaints with Fastlane, which they at least later addressed on 205 Live, or maybe it was Raw. I don't remember. I don't care. The pre-show cruiserweight. Hey, remember we still have these guys on the roster tag match?
Yeah, it was Akira Tozawa and...
It was Tozawa and Rich Swann.
Rich Swann versus...
Who cares? Brian Kendrick and Noam Dar.
Sure.
That's what it was. Rich Swann making his in-ring return after being injured by Neville in the process of losing the Cruiserweight Championship. And he's just in a tag team match.
A throwaway.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Like, thankfully, they gave him an actual, like, title rematch, I think it was 205 Live, because that's when, Austin Aries did the interview, which was amazing.
I didn't get to see it, but
was that 205?
I thought that was Raw.
That might have been Raw. Yeah, because it was Chicago, because I think it was Chicago.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they at least acknowledged that, oh yeah, Rich Swann was champion for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, AJ Styles never got his title match, rematch.
Nope.
Mm-mm. He got some triple threats. That's not the same thing.
Nope.
But to say, I don't think Randy Orton ever got his rematch for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship back at WrestleMania 30. He never got his match back for
that. It's almost like they're playing fast and loose with these rules. Allie looks disinterested.
Which is so funny because they have the official rule book out now.
They do, which I tried to get you to buy and you refused.
And how to break them, isn't that the rest of the title?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the subtitle.
So if you would like to buy that book, you can go to Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. They have a copy there.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
They have a copy there. That's where I found it.
They're not listening to this show. This is the one show they don't listen to, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, yeah, great. Great. It's a great place. I can't think of anything else positive that happened in Fastlane, which I know isn't true because I feel like there were some good moments.
I didn't like the outcome, but the Rusev Big Show match was pretty good.
There was a lot of good work in Fastlane.
Well, that's every
the
show.
The wrestling was solid. The endings were perplexing. Can we talk about the women's match?
Let's talk about the women's match real quick. So Bayley defeated Charlotte thanks to Sasha Banks' interference. Because she kind of tried to help, and instead of the ref calling for the DQ immediately, I guess because Charlotte grabbed her first, they ignored it. Charlotte gets back in the ring. She takes the Bayley to belly or whatever it's called, the stupid regular move that for some reason is a finisher when Bayley does it.
It's because she's a hugger.
Oh, it's fine.
But that wasn't
fine.
That wasn't exactly what I was talking about because they kind of just, it seemed like all of the women angles.
Okay, let's talk about, you talking about the first women's match.
Yeah.
You talk about Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks. I hated that match. And here's why. You know how critical I've been of Nia Jax in the past few weeks?
Yeah.
Because I'm not the biggest fan of her. But the way they booked her on Sunday was just awful. Like, you have her be so dominant, and then you have Sasha win with a freaking roll-up.
That looked like it was screwed up.
It looked like she was supposed
to be holding onto the ropes.
I was talking to somebody about it right after the show, and what I think was supposed to happen is Sasha was supposed to grab the ropes.
Yes.
And then... During the women's match, or the championship match, Sasha was supposed to DQ Charlotte. So that way, Monday night on Raw, you could have Bayley come out as a champion, and Charlotte's streak is technically still intact. You could have Charlotte say, no, I was screwed.
Yeah.
And then you could have Sasha Banks come out. Well, I beat Nia Jax. And then Nia Jax come out and be like, no, I was screwed. And then there's your fatal four-way for WrestleMania. But everything was botched on the way to that. So now...
I don't agree with that even a little bit. Well, aside from the Nia Jax, because they would... If the women's championship match was supposed to end on a DQ, the referee is not going to count a clean three.
I mean, unless he screwed up. I mean, there's a chance he screwed up, but I agree with you. I don't think it's entirely true, but I think that's better booking.
It makes more sense, but I don't think the women's championship match was messed up at all.
You have to pray that it was messed up, because if it wasn't messed up,
that run-in was just weird. Bad.
It's
yeah.
just someone thought it would be a good idea to promote the Charlotte winning streak on every pay-per-view.
You're saying that WWE writing can't be incompetent.
It absolutely can't.
If that's what your argument is right now, it's like, oh, well, they're not that bad, but they are. They have clearly proven that they are.
I know they are. I've been saying that for years. But the one thing that they seem to have been protecting, like it was the goddamn Holy Grail, was Charlotte's pay-per-view win streak. They hammered it down your throat every other day. She beat Sasha Banks at every pay-per-view. It was the one big thing that's like, okay, well, they won't touch this. They clearly have a plan. And then they didn't. Then Bayley just beats her on Fastlane. A month before WrestleMania.
And 2 months after Royal Rumble, whenever she lost to Charlotte then, you know, it would have been a lot more impactful if she would have won that at the Rumble.
How stupid is that? Like, that is boil your blood stupid.
Yep. And,
but we're not in the business, so we don't know. Like, we don't know. They have plans. Bullshit. I know stupidity and bad writing when I see it, and this is some of the worst writing I've seen. This is just terrible. Like, there's no... It's inexcusable.
It's the Steve Hofstetter joke. I've never flown a plane, but if I see a plane in a tree, I can easily say that pilot messed up.
That's not a good pilot, Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no trees in golf courses. That's not true. There's a lot of trees. There was one other good thing that happened on Fastlane. Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn.
That match was insane.
But
I love that match.
Was the book. It was, again, the booking that was the terrible thing. And I think the... Okay, I stewed about Goldberg and Kevin Owens for a while. I stewed about Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, and we'll talk about that. But I do think that the women's match was the worst booked match on the show, because the whole Charlotte doesn't lose on pay-per-view thing, what a waste. Like, to me, I hated the angle, because it doesn't make sense. It's like, okay, kind of like The Undertaker at WrestleMania suddenly becomes more powerful. But you're telling me Charlotte gets that at every pay-per-view. Like, she doesn't care if she wins or loses the title on the show. But at the pay-per-view, that's when it really counts. Horseshit. That's just stupid. But I get it. That's the angle you want to push. That's the narrative you want me to follow. And then you waste it on Bayley at Fastlane.
I'm fine with it being on Bayley. Not fine with it being on Fastlane.
Fastlane.
You want to talk about stuff being wasted on Fastlane. There's Charlotte's 16 pay-per-view win streak. They just end 3 weeks before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman has been pushed as this dominant, unbeatable monster since August. First clean loss, Fastlane, 2 months before WrestleMania. And now, what's his WrestleMania match going to be? Winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Oh, God, I hope not. You think so?
Yeah. What else is there for him to do right now?
I will say...
Then Kevin Owens has a 188-day championship reign. Loses it in 2 seconds to Goldberg for a part-timer. Again, 2 months before WrestleMania.
I think that the Goldberg thing, even though I don't like it, like, I don't. I'm not even against Goldberg. Like, I don't even dislike Goldberg.
At this point, I am. There's no confidence that I think he can make it. He can do an entertaining match.
I don't think so either. Because everything.
This was their chance to show. Oh no! Look, it's fine. He will be able to wrestle Brock. Like, he'll actually be able to wrestle Brock Lesnar. But I'm bored. Like, it's the same thing with Lesnar, except it's been
quicker,
so much faster. I don't care.
Well, that's because you know Brock Lesnar can do a good match. You know he can.
If he cared enough to,
right?
But
you don't know about Goldberg.
But now I'm at the point now where it's like I know Lesnar could do a good match, but he won't.
But
because he doesn't have to. It's Suplex City. It's fun.
That's because you have to remember, the WWE, and I'm not taking their side. Please don't think that I'm devil's advocate right now.
You're just explaining what they do.
I'm explaining what I think they do, because I don't know. You know, I don't know. But they've always said they don't do wrestling anymore. They do entertainment. They do movies. From an entertainment point of view, they don't write these shows for us. They don't write these shows to entertain us. They write these shows to entertain the basic fan, the casual fan who spends all the money. And to them, Goldberg the Conquering Hero is what people want to see, apparently. Not everybody, of course.
Except the YouTube clip of Goldberg beating Kevin Owens. had like 3,000 more dislikes than likes on it, like 2 days after.
Well, the internet's strong with this one.
Oh, but it's a vocal minority.
That's what I hear.
Like, the internet wrestling community is not literally everyone now, because everything is the internet.
Yeah.
But from a storyline perspective, that one at least made sense.
No, it didn't. If Chris Jericho really wanted to get back at Owens, he should have went in, instead of just doing his music, he should have just went in and DQ'd somebody. That way, he's like, no, I get you at Mania, and I'm taking the belt from you.
Well, no, because why would Kevin Owens give him a title shot at Mania? Think about this.
Kevin Owens isn't the one that makes the matches.
But still, like, what's the guarantee that he would have done it? And you say that, and yet these wrestlers come out week after week and say, I got a match.
Oh, no, they absolutely do. Yeah. But that's the...
But what's the...
Kevin Owens isn't the one... All he has to do is catch Stephanie McMahon in a random bad mood.
She hates Jericho anyway.
She hates everybody.
But from Jericho's perspective, like... And again, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. If you're trying to piss off Kevin Owens, if you want to get him back for what... Chris Jericho, to me... The friendship thing is more important to him than the title.
I think I would rather, but it just makes more sense to be, I want to be the one to take that belt off of you. Yes, making you lose the belt is nice and screw you, like, that is revenge, but it's so much better to be able to be the actual one who then, yes, I have your championship now. Which, speaking about people.
It's still
not,
bad writing.
Speaking of people not getting rematches, Kevin Owens is just like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'm not the Universal Champion anymore. I want your championship. You have the illustrious United States Championship that's, I think, got defended. You beat Sami Zayn once.
Cause it's supposed to be personal. And like, I know you're going to explode at me here in a second and say it's stupid, and I agree, but it's supposed to be personal. It's supposed to be, oh, I don't care about my title. I want you that bad because of this betrayal thing. And I agree. It's badly done. Compare this to SmackDown this week.
But they're
doing both. When AJ Styles went backstage, and I don't. You saw the segment, right? Where AJ Styles goes backstage and yells at Shane McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles at Mania. I don't.
No.
No one does. But the way they did that angle was good. That was a good. I felt like they were actually heated at each other.
It makes sense. But you're saying like, oh no, it's more about the story. It's not about the championship.
I'm saying that's what they're saying.
See, but what they're saying is literally Kevin Owens. The only way I'm going to wrestle you is if you put your championship on the line.
Which, you know, his big concern.
And they could have easily done champion versus champion. Because they don't care about the United States. Like,
I mean, if they had faith in Kevin Owens versus Jericho more so than Lesnar versus Goldberg, and you know they don't.
Okay, they still won. Even if Goldberg got Owens, or if Goldberg Lesnar wasn't for the championship, it would still go on last.
Oh, it absolutely would.
Or Undertaker's match will go on last.
But they think they can stack the deck. And we all agree that it's a bad idea. We all agree on that, Allie. Yes?
Yeah.
Dalton? And I know Ace's answer. I cut you off because I knew your answer. We agree on it, but that's not what Vince McMahon sees. Vince McMahon sees Brock Lesnar and Goldberg and says, that's money. Jericho, that's a guy he never really had the most faith in to begin with. And Kevin Owens, the fat little indie guy, you're gonna tell me he's gonna be money at Mania?
The fact that he gave him an 188-day championship reign, yeah.
You think
he has- I don't think he would have let him win or, as much crap as we give Vince, he is still the final say. If Vince didn't want Owens to have the championship, he would not have had the championship, and he wouldn't have had it for as long as he did.
It's the whole CM Punk thing where he's like, no, you deserve to have this belt, but we're you're not going to be the main event.
Yeah, Punk never made event in Mania, no matter how many times he was champion.
And with Lesnar, Goldberg, that's still – I don't think adding the championship to that is going to make any more people buy it.
I think in Vince's mind, it absolutely does.
In Vince's mind, yes, because it's the same thing.
Two Titans going at it.
Twice in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Roxina.
So we all agree it's stupid. Like, we all agree on that. Now, Dalton, you were going to make a point. I'm sorry. We and Ace keep yelling at each other.
And the whole Kevin Owens, because, like, I even said, like, it makes no sense that Chris Jericho did what he did. He should have went in and DQ'd him so he could go for the belt. It makes even less sense the next night on Raw, Kevin Owens comes out and says, no, I'll face you at Mania only for that title. You know what Kevin Owens should be doing? I'm in that triple threat. I'm using my rematch clause. I'm in that match now.
Well,
this is the exact same thing of WrestleMania 20, and this is very fitting, that it was I can't remember the pay-per-view, but it was the one right before Mania, and it was the SmackDown one. Eddie Guerrero beat Brock Lesnar because Goldberg got interfered. And then the next night on SmackDown, Lesnar cuts a promo that says, that title was my life. I want Goldberg at WrestleMania. You do. You want Eddie Guerrero at Mania. That's who you want because that is the thing you love, not this person that screwed you over. The storytelling, you can say that, oh, they're writing a story. The story makes no sense. If the titles is what everybody would be concerned about, and that's what Stone Cold Steve Austin said. If you're not there to be the champion, you shouldn't be there. So they should write the stories that way.
I agree, but they're trying to put this whole heat of passion type thing on there. It's like this is a bad example. Let's say you're dating a girl. You lost that girl to another guy. Is your first instinct to go and try to get that girl back is to beat that guy's ass because he took it from you? And it's a bad example.
That's a terrible example.
Yeah, but
you get what I'm saying. Like, it's supposed to be I'm so mad because this thing that I love is gone now that I would rather, I want the person that took it. I want the person that cost it.
No, I want the person that beat me in 2 seconds because I got punked out. I'll take care of that person on Monday Night Raw the next day and just destroy him. And then I want my belt back.
Well, you're thinking like a rational person.
Which, if they're telling a story, that's what a rational person would do. Chris Jericho, he would be lucky to what happened to him during the friendship or celebration
also,
of friendship.
If you're Kevin Owens, do you really want to get in on a triple threat with Goldberg and Lesnar?
Yes, because the only reason I lost was because of Chris Jericho. I didn't get
a test.
Wouldn't
you rather
have
a one-on-one match?
No.
Why would you want to go?
Not with those two.
Probably, but whenever you can just roll out of the ring and let them
tire each other out.
Yeah, beat each other to hell in 10 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, about to say that's a 30-second championship win.
Because, you know, Lesnar somehow is still the unbeatable monster.
Even though
he's gotten punked out by Goldberg twice.
Well, Goldberg, for some reason, accepted a match with Lesnar, despite punking him out three times.
Oh, because he never turns down a fight. He doesn't turn down a fight.
And I have no doubt that he will accept Kevin Owens' fight on Raw within the next week or two.
Goldberg won't wrestle on Raw.
And will beat him. I mean, he'll beat him quickly.
He won't wrestle on Raw.
Lesnar wrestles at house shows sometimes.
Yeah, once. Whenever
Madison Square Garden.
No, he did one in Chicago.
Oh yeah, the Chicago one.
Yeah.
So
he's not doing Cape Girardeau. Yeah, I will give you the defense. He's not doing that.
No, but it's entirely plausible that Goldberg would wrestle a match on Raw.
I mean, it's plausible that the WWE champion would wrestle on Raw.
Whenever The Rock won the WWE championship, did he ever defend it on Raw?
Lesnar. You can go even shorter back.
I know, that's the one that is going into my head.
But don't worry, because when Lesnar beats Goldberg, and he can keep the belt until SummerSlam, when Roman Reigns, our one true savior, comes in.
I swear to God, if Seth Rollins wins Money in the Bank before that, I'm going to get really annoyed. You just did WrestleMania 31 all over again. Yeah, that's it.
But what? No, like, repeat a thing we've already done?
But like,
I don't think that would ever do that.
Triple H all the credit in the world. He did defend the WWE championship one time on Raw against Ziggler. That's more than what Lesnar did, and that's more than what Goldberg's going to do.
Good on him.
We're talking about part-timers winning the belt. That happened last year.
Yeah, but Triple H is in a different classification than Lesnar and Goldberg. Because when Triple H isn't there wrestling, he's still there.
That's true.
Goldberg and Lesnar don't show up for meetings and for strategies. They just show up,
it's 'cause they don't
win, and cash their paycheck.
They don't have a territory to run, that's why. Like, ah, dang it, and I also have to be the GM.
So, I gather we weren't a fan of Fastlane. Or the booking.
I don't like the booking. I love the pay-per-view.
I didn't love the pay-per-view. I thought it was a throwaway pay-per-view.
Well, I mean, that's what it is.
There was nothing. Nothing stands out as something you have to watch. Like,
aside from Gallagher and Neville, I think that match was amazing.
I mean, yeah, it was great.
If you get a chance to watch it, but you don't really have to go out of your way to watch it.
Yeah, that's not something I would say you have to go out of your way to see.
The only reason you would want to go out of your way to watch Fastlane is if you really want to see just how bad it can be. Because it was bad. Like, it was bad. I know I'm sitting here trying to negotiate ideas with you guys. I'm failing horribly. But in all honesty, I agree that it was just bad. And yeah, WWE is always going to be this way. It's a repeating cycle. Did you think that Roman Reigns was not going to be the savior again someday? Like, we all thought, well, maybe they're finally understanding. No, they're going to push their narrative. I've been saying this since that whole leaked WrestleMania card came out. I was like, whatever the narrative they want to push is, that is what they will push. And to hell with anybody that says that it's a bad idea. They will do what they want to do, regardless of what you think. And they will, it's like CM Punk said, they will continue to make money. It's a machine. And we all, and look, we're doing a show about it right now.
Yep.
I like to see a little bit of that money.
I mean, that's something we won't see.
It's not, because
we're not Goldberg and or
we're
Lesnar.
Not a part of the WWE ambassador program.
Oh, we're never getting on that one.
And I don't want to be. I don't want to be Sam Roberts. I don't want to be, like, even if offered, if they said, we want to put you on, like, as much as I want to be in wrestling, I don't want to do that. I know I said, yeah, I'll sell out real quick. I really don't want
to
do that.
I mean, if they literally said, you don't have to change your opinions.
Well, then they've never listened to our show.
Yeah, but they won't.
Yeah.
Like, they would never do that. They can get plenty of
people. And they shouldn't either. Like, they shouldn't. There's no reason for WWE to put somebody that's critical of them, like, on the air to be critical of them. One thing I've discovered about things is that they bring in people who will kiss their ass and make them look better. That's what they should do instead of getting better. Whatever.
And that's what happened to Dent, and that's what drove WCW out of business. It's what almost killed TNA the like third time.
But the problem, the problem with this though is that the WWE, they don't really have, they still don't have the competition.
They don't.
Like, they can continue to be bad. And like, what's your other options? Yeah, we go to Stride, we go to CCW, and we enjoy it more. But those guys aren't really, it's not the same league. Like, there's a reason WWE is the worldwide leader in sports entertainment. You know, and they'll always be that way. I don't think there's anyone that can knock them out of the top spot.
It's the same.
Ever.
It's the same thing with any professional league, like any like NFL. Yeah, XFL. It had some good games, but that went to the wayside because it didn't have the support. Arena football couldn't beat NFL. The ABA couldn't beat the NBA. Like, there's so many. Like,
it's a monopoly.
Yeah, it's a monopoly. That's exactly what it is, and it's unfortunate. I really hope Anthem can turn it around and really turn Impact into something.
But it doesn't matter what they turn Impact into, because it'll never compete with WWE.
And they, spoiler alert, I read what happens for tomorrow night's Impact.
Yep, I know.
Nope.
Yep. Can we go to that?
I mean, if you want to, we can.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything left to say about Fastlane. Like,
so between Fastlane and Raw, I don't know how we're supposed to still care about Strowman. Like, yeah, he looked great against Reigns, but he lost. And then just backs down from The Undertaker the next exact night. He says, I'm so mad. Roman Reigns is the first person to actually beat me, and I don't think it was a fair win. Oh, I'm going to tear him apart. I'm going to rip him to shreds. Oh, hi, old man who's limping his way down to the ring. I'm scared of you. Bye.
Well, he's scared of his mystical powers.
So I guess now he's going to focus all of his aggression on Mick Foley? Yay.
Catering?
Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Well, you saw what that did for Corbin.
It did do a lot for Corbin.
Yeah, it did great for Corbin 10 months later.
I mean, that was a joke. Because did it do anything for Corbin? Other than he carried the statue around and said...
He stood next to the statue for a few months, but did nothing on SmackDown until about, I'd give you even a month ago.
Yeah.
Is when he started actually shine.
I mean,
that
Andre the Battle Royal is basically like, we don't have anything for you, but you're big, so here's a trophy.
Yep.
Here's a participation trophy. And if you work really hard, you can be the next Baron Corbin.
That's your WrestleMania moment. You're welcome.
Zack Ryder got one. Moment, not the title.
Yeah, I'm very aware of how they treat Zack Ryder, too. Mm-hmm. Like,
you think he's going to win a belt this year?
His new weight belt that he buys.
Yeah, I mean, the only way he's
going
to win a belt is if he goes to, like, the carnival and they have one for, like, a dart game or something. Let's talk about what happened in TNA. Screw WWE. Let's get off WWE for a second. This won't make us mad. Asa, tell me about what happened. Spoiler alert, if you don't want to know what happened.
Yeah, this is for tomorrow's TNA. One thing is the Hardys are still your tag team champions, but they weren't on, unless they're doing some like pre-taped stuff, they didn't show up live. Bruce Pritchard was revealed as the new owner, or at least the face of the company.
It's good to see him back. Brother Love.
And Dutch Mantel came out and talked about how people have gone, like the fans have left from TNA, and one, the TNA name is officially dead as of tomorrow. It's only Impact Wrestling.
Good on them.
The fans have fled Impact Wrestling, and he wants to bring them back. He wants to make Impact Wrestling great again.
He didn't say that, did he?
He did. Then had the fans in attendance stand up, put their hands over their chest, and say, "We the people will make Impact Wrestling great again."
Dutch Mantel bought all those
shirts. Oh, yeah, by the way, your new TNA champion is Alberto Del Rio.
Well, they have history.
Jesus.
So
if you're wondering why all of those guys why the rats were fleeing from the sinking ship, it's because they needed to make money to spare so they could give it to Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
Because he's the savior of TNA.
Paige is going to be the knockout champion whenever she finally gets out of the contract.
If you look at the checklist of criteria to be TNA champion, I mean, Alberto Del Rio really does. He's above and beyond the call of duty.
Oh, yeah.
Former WWE
champion. That's all you got to say right there. Yeah. So I've never been a big Del Rio fan. I don't think he's bad at all. Like, he's good.
I like him. It's just he's never, he's the only real good, the only great thing he ever really did got ruined because Edge had to retire.
Yeah.
Which it's not Edge's fault. It's not his fault. It's just
bad
so unfortunate timing
yeah.
that the lead up to the destiny of him winning the championship at WrestleMania was like, give it a month.
And then his return match against John Cena when he won
He won the United States Championship.
And then they did nothing with him.
That could have been the start of something good. Yeah, of course it wasn't.
League of Nations.
Could have been something good.
Could have been awesome.
Of course it wasn't. So now you think, well, maybe they'll do something different with him in TNA. And I'm sure they'll push him hard. But between him himself being kind of bland when he doesn't have a good direction to go in, because he can be bland. When he doesn't have a good direction. Yeah.
There's a lot of people that you, like, you know, Randy, as a huge Randy Orton fan, like, if Randy Orton doesn't have something that he cares about.
Yeah. Can't be bland.
You can tell.
Yeah.
And it's not that they can be bland. It's just they don't care. And it's easy to tell whenever they're invested in what they're doing and when they're there for them.
When I say bland, I don't mean that as in they're not talented. It's just, what I mean is that they, like you said, they don't care. It's just there's no fire. There's no spark. You don't want to see them. It's the old, Butt Dance 2.0. We're not having fun watching you because you're not having fun doing it.
Right.
Yeah. Combine that with his personal issues that he's had for the past few months. That just seems like a bad idea to just throw him in right there and give him the title and go, here you go. By the way, everyone else in the TNA locker room that's been looking for a chance now that we're Anthem and this is all different, here's your new champion. He's a former WWE guy. You may have heard of him. Alberto El Patron. Is that what they're calling him?
Yep. Yeah. That's been but that was his name whenever he left WWE the first time.
It was.
This but he's keeping it on Impact.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
This past week of Impact, Jade lost a Last Woman Standing match, which is actually really, really good.
Because she's gone too.
She's gone.
Yeah. She's gone from the company.
She lost that to Rosemary, which was a really good match. Like, Jade is such, she had so much improvement in the time that she was even just on TNA TV. And then Drew Galloway lost the Impact Grand Championship.
Also gone.
To Moose, right?
Yep.
And then,
which I like Moose. I think Moose is.
Yeah, and he's going to be in. It looks like he's going to start a feud with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, and
he's feuding with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, Moose has a tremendous upside. He's just a physical freak.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he seems to really care about, like, he's not one of those ex football players that is in wrestling and can do like a punch and a tackle. Like, he is continuously improving. I think he has a tremendous upside on him.
Just kind of anything else with TNA? I mean, other than Del Rio wins bad.
Impact is officially gone. We have Bruce Pritchard is now the new on-air authority. I don't know if Dutch Mantel is going to be an ongoing
character. Yeah.
He is the head of creative. So this could have been just him coming out as a one-off.
Like, this is a nod wink to the people that know.
Right. But Bruce Pritchard was in multiple segments, including there was a match for the Grand Championship.
I don't understand why wrestling companies continue to think that what fans really want to see is authority figures.
Right.
Like, you know, my favorite time, with an authority figure in my lifetime, when I was younger, back in the late 80s, early 90s, they had Jack Tunney. Mm-hmm. As WWF, you know, figurehead, he wasn't, but he was what they said.
Right.
And he only came out once 7 months if something really important or bad happened.
He announced the tournament for WrestleMania 4, right?
Yeah. And he announced, he did a lot of stuff, but like, he wasn't on every week multiple shows because you don't need that. You don't need that authority figure constantly hanging over you. Like, that has been beaten to death. We don't need it anymore. And it's everywhere.
I personally liked Eric Bischoff in the early 2000s with Jonathan Coachman. I liked that pairing. But that was mainly Coach than Bischoff. He was just really good at being – they were really good at being dirtbags.
Yeah, but when you think about how long they've been doing this whole – especially bad guy authority figure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way too long. Like, we will never get better as wrestling, you know, entertainment if we don't evolve a little bit. You can't constantly just go to the well every time and rehash things. For every good thing they do, there's something like for 205 Live or the CWC, the Breezeweight. Like, that's amazing. And for every time you do something cool like that, or you do something like the Wyatt stuff, you go back to the same stuff again and again. I don't know. It's frustrating. I'm less angry, frustrated than Asa is. I'm more of just like if Asa is the angry, like he's mad, you know, at the world because it's so terrible. I'm the guy that's just sitting in the bar alone drinking constantly because I'm like, it is terrible, but.
I've done my fighting. I'm done with this.
Yeah. Like, and it's not because I'm older.
No, I'm mad because I'm not in a great mood because I feel like crap, but.
Well, you don't have much to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not, there wasn't a big week on mainstream stuff.
All right. Let's do something fun.
I will say the ROH taping that finally aired tonight with the big reveal leading to the, is it final battle that's coming up?
Yeah.
That was kind of exciting.
Because we can go to Hardy's and the Hardy News. So the Hardy Boys.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Bully Ray.
Yep.
Are temporarily signed to ROH.
Yes. No one really knows for how long either of those contracts are for. According to the Hardy deal, they're assuming it's at least into May, because that is another match that's coming up at the next ROH pay-per-view, is the Hardys versus the Young Bucks. They apparently have full creative control, and they have full just whatever dates they want to work, as long as it's not a conflict for an ROH show.
Yeah.
And so it may not be the same level of money. It's definitely not the money they would have gotten from WWE.
No.
I'm willing to bet it's a pay cut from what they were making in Impact, but that's that creative control that they were really after.
And Matt Hardy has filed a trademark for Broken.
Yes, he's started the paperwork, so it's whether...
Which I'm assuming means that they did not have it.
I mean, it means that he doesn't currently have it. It may also mean that Impact didn't have it.
That's what I mean. That Impact may.
I don't know how trademarks work. Or
it could be one. It's going to go to an arbitration process, because what you have is you have one company saying, "No, he did this under our brand. This is our intellectual property, but we don't have a trademark on it." Matt Hardy is going, "Hey, they don't have a trademark on this.
I was the one that did it.
I'm the one that did it. This is mine." It's the whole thing with Shark Boy. Shark Boy filed that trademark whenever in the late 90s, and then they did that movie. Shark Boy and Lava Girl, and then Shark Boy sued and won so much money.
There was a wrestler named Shark Boy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. You don't know who Shark Boy is.
Give him a shell, yeah. Because originally he was just an X Division, just he was a guy in a blue jumpsuit, like full body spandex. And
with the fin.
I'm bringing up the picture.
And a fin in a mask that had like shark teeth and stuff.
He was Shark Boy.
He was Shark Boy.
And...
But then I don't remember what led to it happening, other than it was just someone behind the scenes heard him do a Steve Austin impression. And then they threw it, because he sounds exactly like Steve Austin when he wants to. And they literally gave him a knockoff.
Black vest.
They gave him the black vest. He did the poses. He did the stunners.
Give me a shell, yeah.
Give me a shell, yeah.
Time out. Allie, what does this look like?
It looks like what are they in Mario? The mask. Looks like Shy Guy? The bullets.
The bullet bill.
Bullet bills.
Yeah, it looks like.
So I showed Allie the picture when Asa was talking, and she just went, "It looks like," and muttered. I was like, "No, I want this on air." What she thinks this looks like.
But yeah, so he sued when they did Shark Boy and Lava Girl. He settled. He's not allowed to say for how much money, but he doesn't wrestle anymore.
Haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah,
that's what he told Colt Cabana. He's like, "I'm not allowed to say how much the settlement was for, but it was a lot." But yeah, no, so this is the same thing where it's probably Matt just being like, "Well, nobody owns a trademark on this. I'm trademarking it. I'm willing to fight them."
I mean, he absolutely should too, because I read an article someone wrote, I think it was on 411 Mania, and their basic argument was, at this point, after seeing Broken Matt Hardy, he can't watch regular Matt Hardy anymore because he's not nearly as entertaining.
I mean, I don't even know if it's not that he's not as entertaining, which you can make an argument that this is the most entertaining Matt Hardy's ever been. But it would be too jarring. You can't just go back to, like, Hardy Boys in WWE.
It would be like if Bray Wyatt came out in 2 weeks as Michael, or
Husky Harris
again. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was Bray Wyatt, but he was Husky Harris.
Yeah.
Because it's still the same name. You know? This is the first time that Matt Hardy has been more known than Jeff Hardy. More popular.
Yeah.
Because I always thought Matt Hardy was the better of the two.
I mean, better wrestler, yes.
Yeah, because I'm more of a Matt-based
wrestler.
But
Jeff Hardy was always the star.
He was the star. He was the popular one. He was the daredevil. This is the first time that Matt Hardy is either on the same level or even surpasses him in terms of notoriety.
Yeah.
So I can see why Matt Hardy would not want to let it go, mm-hmm. especially if he gets creative freedom. So that'll be interesting to see. We wonder where the Hardy Boys were going to go. They're going to go there, but I have no doubt that eventually at some point they will go back to WWE.
Get that super, super sweet.
I mean, I would say hope so, but
hope so for their sake.
Keep that creative freedom or cash those amazing checks.
Yeah. They will never sell shirts like they did in WWE. The Hardy Boy merch, that was everywhere.
The bad thing is that Vince McMahon and WWE doesn't seem to want to throw their weight behind crazy ideas anymore. Like, everything they do is very, even the stuff that is crazy seems a little bit more down to earth. But there was stuff that I thought was really good that they never really put their money behind, like Pirate Paul Burchill. I loved Pirate Paul. That was just something they didn't like. So I don't see the Hardys going in and being as crazy as they are. I think it would be more tame and more boring.
What's better than a pirate gimmick? An incest gimmick. Give them that. That happened. He was a pirate, and then he loved his sister a little too much.
I think we all loved his
they
sister.
They dropped that, though. It was just they allude. It was alluded to.
Oh, like when they
it was supposed to. It was supposed to be, like, no, explicit, like, shown exactly what it is, but...
Remember when they alluded to the fact that, was it Chaz was his name after the Headbangers? When they alluded to the fact that he beat his girlfriend?
They've alluded to a lot of really bad things.
That was a stupid idea.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when they alluded? No, I'm not bringing up Katie Vick. I was about to make a really bad.
There was
no alluding to that. There was video.
It was just video. Triple H wearing a. I think he was still just.
He was still in a Triple H shirt.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think he was still wearing the DX shirt. It's just he had the Kane mask on.
God. All right. Something fun, real quick, Dalton. This applies to me and you mostly, I think. I don't know if Ace has ever played it. New Fire Pro game was announced. It is Fire Pro World.
Yes.
And it's coming out for PS4 and Steam. I really hope I said this to Dalton, that this is a game that maybe they poured over to the Switch. Because it's definitely coming to US, but right now it's just PS4 and Steam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I could see this being a game that would be great on a Switch because you can pull the controllers off and, because it's not a very, there's not a lot of stick movement with it.
It's not a simulation.
No.
Yeah, I know.
Well, actually.
No, kind of is. Yeah, you can make it more of a simulation.
This is like the hardcore wrestling fan. This is like their dream game because it is so in-depth.
It's the only game that some people will put above No Mercy as the best wrestling game series.
And I've been playing Fire Pro for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Likewise.
And really loved it. The only Fire Pro that was terrible, because the ones on Super Nintendo, the Japanese ones, I actually have imports of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay. They're not great. But then they made that terrible one for Xbox Live Arcade.
Yup.
Which it goes down as probably like the third worst wrestling game of all time behind... of Hulk Hogan's main event.
And Simpsons Wrestling.
Ugh. I just threw up in my mouth.
And
a
I said
bit.
Simpsons and he threw up. But no, Fire Pro, I mean, every once in a while, like once a year, I'll go on YouTube and I'll just put in Fire Pro and look for the most recent to see the mod, like what they've people have, not even mods, they created it.
Yeah, this isn't mod community. Like yeah, these people actually like paint program that it's in the game. I mean, they make legit rings, especially now. Cause before, if you wanted to download those things, you had to have like a hack device for your PS2. Now I imagine they will let you do like WWE and hopefully let you download these creations because that will be insane.
Yeah. Cause that's one of the huge draws of the Fire Pro series. Is the creation suites.
Yeah. It's one of the first ones.
We talked about it a little bit on Nerd Up, and I said to Jesse, like, you could pull up one of those old era Fire Pro games now, put enough work into it, you could have every current roster, and it would look
eerily
similar.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a fantastic game. I can't wait to play it. It looks really good. We'll talk more about it at a later point.
Because all we got was the announcement trailer,
yeah,
which showed like the cage match and what looked like a barbed wire death match.
Yeah, because those games, like, they had the exploding death match.
Yeah.
I think that's what it showed too, because it looked like whenever he hit the ropes, it went boom.
I remember playing that game and it was that match and there's a timer and I remember like, what is that for? And when the timer hit, whole thing went boom. Everything went up in an explosion. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, no, I love Fire Pro. It's definitely not my favorite wrestling game of all time, but man, it just
the only thing Fire Pro lacks is just like if you love actual like real wrestling, you know, like the Japanese style wrestling where it's taken a little bit more seriously, you will love Fire Pro. But the one thing it lacks is the bells and whistles of like WWE game, the entrances, the crazy stuff like that. Like it doesn't have that, but for pure wrestling, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, amazing. I love those games.
We'll keep you updated on that. Something else really good.
Will.
New Hall of Fame announcement.
Rick Rude.
someone said this. Yes, you're right. Someone said this on, I think it was, again, 411 Mania, and I thought about it because he's absolutely right. He said, wait, he wasn't already in it?
Yeah, and that's what the Hall of Fame is.
That's one of those things where it's just like, he should have already been in there.
It's Rick freaking Rude. Mm-hmm. Ali, did we ever tell you about the time Rick Rude appeared on Raw and Nitro the same night?
Yes, we have.
Yes. And it was incredible. Rick Rude.
One segment, he was on DX. The very next segment on WCW, NWO.
Rick Rude was one of my favorites growing up because he was like the best bad guy. He spray painted, like, was it Jake the Snake's wife?
Yup.
Mm-hmm.
Spray painted his wife's face on his tights, right, with his crotch area. Oh my God, Rick Rude was awesome.
I'm trying to find Joey Ryan's tweet right after the announcement, but it was pretty much, I need WWE to stop airing vignettes about Rick Rude because people are going to start realizing that don't know him that I stole so much from him.
Well, yeah, when you look at Joey Ryan, I can see that huge, I mean, the mustache, everything.
Yeah, no,
Rick
the
Rude
only thing
was the wrestling porn star of the 80s.
Right.
The only thing that Joey Ryan, or that Rick Rude didn't do that Joey Ryan is currently doing is the U-Pornplex. That's the only difference.
Unfortunately, like, the porn wasn't as available when Rick Rude was alive. He passed away years ago, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is another one of those where it's I would kill to see his acceptance speech.
Yeah.
Because he was just, he was such a good talker. And he was such a smooth.
You know, I don't want to get depressing, but I started, when I heard Rick Rude went in, I started to think, the first person I thought of other than Rick Rude was Mr. Perfect. Because they were best friends.
Yeah.
They were like super best friends. And I just started to think about all of the wrestlers that have passed away from that era that I watched growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, Macho Man, Big Boss Man, Earthquake, Ultimate Warrior, love him or hate him, Jimmy Snuka, love him or hate him. Like, a lot of those guys, there's really what, Hulk Hogan and like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, that's it? And Million Dollar Man?
Yeah.
Like, that's about it.
I found the tweet. If WWE keeps airing Rick Rude footage, the new generation of wrestling fans are going to realize just how much I blatantly stole from him. There's the actual tweet. And that just, which is true. And really, you don't see that kind of arrogance from a heel anymore.
No, well,
like that.
Well,
level.
Not many heels had a body like Rick Rude. My God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking about Finn Balor's abs. I mean, Rick Rude had that in the '80s.
One of someone on Reddit posted the it's a classic reaction gif of Heenan taking the robe off of Rude, and then it cuts to like this female fan in the crowd who could have been a plant, but it's also believable that she's just like literally just like slack jaw,
yeah, mouth lick, wide
like
open.
Licking her lips, yeah. Just
for all the sweat hogs out there.
It's an attractive man.
You could even make the argument that Rick Rude would be a headliner even more so than Kurt Angle.
I could see you making that. I could see that argument being made.
Yeah.
It definitely helps that Angle's still alive.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because you want to have the speech.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, Rick Rude, that's huge. This is a huge Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it is. Big, it really is.
Let's move on to, okay, I saw this, Asa, you posted this. I didn't read about this, so fill me in. Ambrose and Rollins talking about being stalked.
So, independently of each other, Seth Rollins sent out a tweet the first thing that happened was Dean Ambrose did an interview where he talked about for the last 2 years, he's pretty actively been stalked, calling his phone at his home. He and Renee Young did an interview together for, I don't remember, I think it was like a Vegas, thing. But he talked about being stalked pretty regularly and how scary that is. Seth Rollins then tweeted out a few days later about just the people who, like, go into detective mode and look up flights and find them in airports at baggage claim, showing up at hotel rooms, like stuff like that, and how that's just, that's inappropriate and creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not okay. And I just thought that was kind of interesting that both of those kind of sentiments,
you know,
came out in the same week.
You know who that reminds me of? And I don't want to say too much about it for legal reasons.
No, I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we
about.
Get you.
And the incidents, the pictures that were taken, and just bragging
about like the
exactly that
how they broke into places
out
and
where he
lied their
is,
way
where
into
were,
places.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a really good way to meet a wrestler, if you go to an indie show or you go to like a house show and they're doing like a, hey, go backstage and meet the wrestlers for however much money. Yeah, you're paying money, but guess what?
That's what they're there for.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
But everybody gets that. If I figure out where, if I can just like buy a cheap airline ticket and hang out in the airport for hours, I can get tired, cranky people to give frowny the best Banks picture.
Yeah, the Sasha Banks picture. That's the absolute worst. Yeah. Did you ever hear about that?
No.
Okay, so
there's a reason it's better. So there's this real unfortunate looking guy, and he's got like the fist up, and he's so excited.
The wrestling pose.
He's so excited to be meeting Sasha Banks at an airport that he clearly didn't have a flight. She is in just travel clothes with a bag, and the face that she is making is the most annoyed, apathetic, just kill me now. The reason that it's so great is Big E loved that face so much, he had someone screen print socks. So now it's that face, like, on his shins.
And she called that guy out on internet.
Yeah,
too,
she did.
Yeah, he was a douche.
Mm-hmm. One of the places, I think it was the Seth Rollins tweet one that got put on Reddit. Like, a lot of people went through, like, pictures like that. There's a couple guys with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins that they clearly don't want to be there. You always hear the stories about people showing up with stacks of merchandise to sign that are clearly they're going to try to hawk online.
When Xavier Woods came in and hung out with us, we treated him like a human being.
Right.
We didn't bother him. Like
We let him look around. He talked to us.
He talked to us. Like, he came up to us and introduced himself. We didn't make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
There was one fan that kind of followed him around a little bit, borderline.
And even that was, it, like, you could clear, like, And that was just, they were just here before the show.
Yeah, he didn't come here to see Xavier Woods.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh,
starstruck.
Can you believe he's here?
Yeah.
And they didn't bother him.
Right.
They didn't like approach him.
Yeah,
he
talked to him a little bit, but it was respectful. There was distance. Like, I think whenever you and I talked to Xavier Woods, there was a good like 2-3-foot buffer between us.
Well, he was behind the counter. Like, I was behind the counter.
Well, no, we were over.
I was going to say he was behind the counter. Yeah. Come on back. Take what you want. You need some money?
Yeah, no, like whenever I talked to him, there was a couple, like, there was enough room. It was respectful. Like, there's a certain way to go about meeting him, but going out of your way to intrude on their day, right. Like their travel.
Like
that is shenanigans.
When I saw him out back with Double H and they were talking, I had to make a mental decision at that moment of, do I want to walk up and then bother him again?
Mm-hmm.
And I did, but in a respectful way, and he was cool about it, and we talked for like 10 minutes and it was awesome. There's a good way and a bad way to do it. Don't be a douche. Like, these people don't owe you anything.
They don't.
CM Punk said it best. They don't owe you anything.
But I bought your house.
I bought your
house.
No, you didn't.
Horse manure.
So yeah, just don't be shitty. They're people.
Yeah.
Austin Aries.
Yes.
About Austin Aries.
Yes. This is the one like highlight of the WrestleMania build at this point. Cause it was on Raw, but he did another interview on 205 Live, but he interviewed himself. where he complimented himself on his journalistic prowess. But yeah, he interviewed Neville, and this is a time when a crowd genuinely helped a segment. Because he mentioned, like, Neville thinks that there's no one on your level, which it's the A double level is a very common thing that he says. Steve, it was in his it was in that huge package.
Yeah,
it was in Aries's massive package.
He's proud of his massive package.
Yeah,
right here.
I mean, as he should be. It was good. It's great.
You can watch it for hours.
About 4 hours is the limit.
Jesus, Billy.
Sorry.
And the crowd starts chanting like for Aries. They start cheering for Aries, and he's like, "Oh well, you know, the people seem to disagree," and it's all. And then Neville gets in it like that intense. Neville of again, like, this is not someone that I would want to mess with.
No.
Like, Neville's jacked. Legitimately kind of scary right now.
He really is.
And it's great.
He really is.
But so the crowd backing Aries, Neville threatens to re-break his orbital bone, get back up, go back and make your jokes on the commentary. That's where you belong. You know, I'm the king of the cruiserweights. Neville bashes him, I guess that's going to be his new finisher. Going forward, or at least his signature move, is that spinning rebound.
Oh, Aries. Because so he said, I'm going to break your orbital bone. He then takes off the glasses, which is the first time since he's broken the orbital bone.
That we've seen him without his sunglasses.
Yeah, and you see a slight bag where the injury was. And he said, I don't want to cause any problems. I do have one more question. Well, it's not a question, more of a statement. Then he, like, remember whenever CM Punk hit Ryder with the microphone?
Yeah.
He does that. Yeah. Hits him, staggers him, runs against the ropes, then does the discus forearm, which is just pretty. And, yeah, and then just, he's a gorgeous man.
Wait, so Aries got the better of Neville?
Yep.
Yep.
And that's awesome. gonna be a fantastic match.
Imagine that match for the title.
And then he made his 205 Live debut against Tony Nese. Wednesday.
I'm going to ask this question, and I don't have an opinion, so I want you to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Austin Aries on 205 Live is a waste?
A little bit. It's yes, because I feel like a lot of the people on 205 Live are wasted on 205 Live, just because I hate the fact that the cruiserweights are kept as a separate entity. Even though they're shown on Raw, they don't get to interact with anybody. They made a huge deal on NXT tonight about TJ Perkins wrestling Shinsuke Nakamura. And it's like he's one of the first people to ever transcend the cruiserweight division, is how they build it. So I would love to see him be on the main roster, but at the same time, like, he has a good shot of actually being featured on 205 Live. Whereas Raw, he'd more than likely just get fed to Roman Reigns.
Between Neville and his renewed gimmick, which is great, Austin Aries, which is doing great from what I've seen, even Jack Gallagher. I'm not a big fan of Jack Gallagher, but he's been killing it with what they've given him. And there was one more person that I was thinking.
Brian Kendrick.
Brian Kendrick does very, very well. And Akira Tozawa.
Yeah.
Get huge reactions.
And
there's a chance they could really make 205 Live good. Like, other than the wrestling.
I mean, and it's not bad, and I know I gave such a hard time for the fast lane because it does very much just feel like a revolving door of challengers and champions. And then maybe Noam Dar gets to say Alicia fucks.
Every time it makes
like
me smile.
Like, on TV.
God, it makes me smile every time. And they're wasting him because he's a phenomenal talent, but man, he's playing to his strengths, sounding silly. He's really good at it. Like the Brian Kendrick Noam Dar thing before the match of just Kendrick just completely dismissing Alicia Fox the entire time.
Just as long as everyone keeps their cool out there. What?
And then he was like, well, and then Noam was like, well, I'll celebrate at the end. And Brian Kendrick looks at it, is like, I don't do crazy, and walks off. Like, yeah. And then Alicia Fox is like, he stole my jacket. Like, and there's so
it's
many,
silly but fun.
It's one of those things where it kind of does feel like Vince doesn't necessarily pay attention to it, so they're able to get away with a little bit more.
Kind of, from what you're describing, it kind of feels like those old segments where they would have like Cody and Dusty or Dustin in the back, and then Dusty Rhodes was there, and Ron Simmons would be there. Like, it's those silly but fun segments that they used to do. You know?
I love the Ron Simmons segments. They're stupid. I still enjoy them.
Allie, give me a damn.
What?
Say damn.
No.
Say damn.
No.
That was perfect. That was really good. Because I was going to try it, but it wasn't going to sound good.
All right. Real quick, big news from the big show. He did announce that his contract is ending in February of next year.
Yep. He did an interview with Yahoo where it was very – I'm starting to even wonder if the Shaq thing is completely off at this point, because Big Show went after Shaq. Called him fat. Like, what's he weigh? Like 450 pounds? Like, I'm down to whatever he is now. Like,
So you can't tell at this point whether or not he's literally mad about it and ribbing him, or if this is
or
a setup.
Or if this is just a setup of Big Show just talking mad smack, and, you know, setting something up, or if, like you said, if he's just mad that he had a WrestleMania story that Shaq just wasn't taking seriously.
Right.
And now it's
that
off.
He put all that effort into it. Because Big Show works really hard at this.
Yeah.
He worked really hard at this, and like, he deserves a lot of credit.
I was sad to see Rusev just get so manhandled because he has a new look. It looked like, you know, if he would have had a good showing against Big Show, like, oh, maybe they're going to do something with him. Maybe he could win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Because he's not doing anything else for WrestleMania, more than likely.
Who knows what big heel that they don't have anything for could win.
Yeah. The possibilities are limited. the interview itself was good, but they asked him, so like, when do you think you're, how long do you see this going? You know, you talk about how the diet and this workout regimen that you're doing to look as good as you do must be grueling. And he just kind of said, well, my contract comes up in February of 2018. After that, you know, if they want me to move into a backstage role, into like an agent role, something like that, you know, sporadic appearances here and there. But it does kind of feel like now's the time to step aside and let the new generation really come and take my place. And if, you know, they want to be the big freak, then Braun Strowman can be the big freak, because he also he put Strowman over real hard.
It's better than Bish. Because they talk about, Reigns
like,
did.
You know, Strowman's 33. Can you compare him where you were at 33? He's like, he's way more athletic than I ever was at 33.
Oh, bro, Strowman's a beast.
Yeah.
Do you think, I can't imagine Big Show as an agent. Not because he wouldn't be good at it, but just that big dude in the back in a suit every week. Like,
you wouldn't screw around with the matches.
No, you would not.
You're going to put him in the
this
camel
clutch.
This
is the finish. Okay.
Yeah. No, yes, we're good.
Sir, yes, sir.
Please don't turn that punch reel. Don't turn that punch reel.
So, we don't have a lot of time. Like, we have like 7 minutes left. And I know we still want to talk about Stride and SmackDown. So here's all I want to say about SmackDown is that Randy Orton is now the official, number one contender. And they're setting up that AJ Shane match through this. We'll talk more about it next week.
The one problem I had with it is I feel like that was kind of a waste of AJ Randy. Cause that's literally the first time those two have ever squared off.
Well, not only that, but it seems like, what was the point?
I mean, it made sense in context. Like, well, Randy gave away he said he wasn't going to do his match. So now we've taken these steps to name a new contender.
And now he wants it
back.
But
now you want it back, so.
But he shouldn't have given it up in the first place because it was so quickly done. We agreed on that.
Yeah.
And I think here was the problem with that. I think I got what they were going for. Mm-hmm. I think what they were going for was that Orton was only playing long enough to find Bray Wyatt's one weakness, which was Sister Abigail. And once, when Bray Wyatt said, you now have the keys to the kingdom, he invited him into his most inner circle. The problem is they didn't explain it well.
Yeah, I have to show you the, someone on Reddit made an insane theory that brings back Eric Rowan, and it's entirely
better than anything they could do.
It's perfect.
We'll talk about that.
But, the match itself was good. I think it was Matt Fowler might have said, like, it felt more like a teaser of what they could do given a longer match, because it only went like 10 minutes.
And I absolutely loved the
finish of AJ Styles knowing that Orton was going to RKO him out of the phenomenal forearm.
Yeah.
So and how athletic is AJ Styles?
Very.
To be able to do a springboard, move forward just enough
to trick,
then to jump just back down and land on the apron.
Yep.
to then just go into a springboard 450 that he just rolls out of.
And the crowd went nuts when he did the false jump.
Yeah.
The crowd went nuts. Like, and AJ Styles, like, knew it. He's like smiling. He's like, that was.
He's just laughing.
That, like, was a great moment.
Yeah, that really, it really was. So.
And I really did like the backstage segment with Styles and Shane.
Yeah.
Because it felt legitimate. Like, it felt like actual anger. I don't want the match, but that felt real.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I don't want the match, it's going to be an entertaining match.
It will be.
Because as much crap as we give Shane, the one thing.
Shane's punches.
Yeah.
Again. I said, as much, he deserves it. He deserves that.
He's an entertaining wrestler.
He is an entertaining wrestler, and he is willing to do whatever besides learn how to punch.
I don't know what crazy spot he could go into because Shane's matches require some huge thing. At WrestleMania, it was jumping off of the cell. At Survivor Series, it was him doing the coast to coast and getting speared out of it.
Almost dying.
I don't know. What big thing that they? I'm sure AJ Styles can find.
I was about
something.
To say, because remember what you just said about how athletic AJ Styles is.
Yeah, but
I want you to remember that statement. Figuring out what they are
going
to do.
Here's what I don't like about it is that.
But what is going to backfire on AJ Styles so Shane McMahon can beat him?
Shane McMahon is a brawler. He's a brawler and a daredevil. That's what he is. He's not a sound technical athletic guy. AJ Styles is. So I'm afraid that this match is not going to follow the normal formula, and I don't want to see AJ Styles. In a brawl with Shane McMahon?
I feel like
this is going to be a mismatch that's not going
to
work.
If it wasn't for the fact that Corbin and Ambrose has to be a street fight, and it should be the street fight we were supposed to get last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Lesnar. But, like, McMahon and I almost feel like Rollins Triple H is going to be like an unsanctioned street fight too.
Yeah, because of the bad blood.
Yeah, so you can't have, you know, three no DQ, like making a no DQ. There needs to be some sort of.
Like a cage or something like that.
There needs to be some sort of gimmick that.
Because it can't just be a straight up match.
Yeah, I agree.
Because then
on
we
that.
Have to rely because too much on Shane McMahon punching AJ Styles.
Well, it's that, and then you also have to look at the very real possibility of AJ Styles losing a wrestling match to Shane McMahon.
AJ Styles trained. All over the globe.
17-year veteran.
AJ Styles is the Bruce Wayne of wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, he's practiced everywhere. He is trained under everybody.
He should not
lose to Shane McMahon.
And I know, just real quick to jump off of him, you wanted to mention The Miz on Talking Smack?
Yes, thank you. I know we're going to run long here, and I apologize again, fans. We own the network. Did you see the segment?
Yeah.
It was good. I don't know if it was as good as his where he railed against
Daniel
Bryan.
It wasn't that good.
But his argument against John Cena was great, and he even got in one of the best zingers I've heard in so long when he said he stole Dolph Ziggler's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John Cena, did you notice the voice he used for John Cena and how it was Dave Chappelle's white newscaster voice?
And his whole, it was a great segment. He stole his finisher from Tommy Dreamer. Mm-hmm. Everyone gives him a pass because he's John Cena.
Yeah.
Like, no. He stole his character from every white kid in the 90s who had an identity crisis.
So here's the thing, though, that.
Thank God he did it on Talking Smack and not on SmackDown.
Right. Here's the thing that I want everybody to be prepared for at WrestleMania. Because Maurice's line of Nikki Bella will always be jealous of me because I have this, and she points to her wedding ring.
No.
John Cena and Nikki Bella will beat The Miz and Maurice, and he will propose to her in the ring at WrestleMania.
That episode of Total Divas / Total Bells is going to be amazing.
It's not going to happen
8 months until after, but it'll be amazing.
I just want you guys to
For the record, I don't hate the idea because I think those kind of segments, especially at WrestleMania, can be really meaningful.
Except when she says no and slaps him and storms off.
Well, it's just you know that I really do believe that Nikki Bella and John Cena's relationship is, like Miz says, it's so plastic. It feels plastic.
Because they both look like they're made out of plastic.
This is not the same as like when Brie Bella came out with Daniel Bryan. That was sweet. Like, that was a sentimental moment.
Well, they're also, you know, actually, they're married.
Apparently so is Cena and Nikki. She's attractive, and so is he. Anyway. All right, last thing.
So is Biz and Murray?
Last thing before we get out of here, and I'm so sorry, Asa, that you couldn't join us for this. We're going to talk about Stride.
Also, we have our first actual entrance for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Who is it?
Mojo Rawley. And then the Talking Smack Apollo Crews showed a little bit of personality. And talked about how he was going to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal to springboard his career because he feels like he has wasted these opportunities that have been giving him because he's just not winning. So at WrestleMania, like with WrestleMania, he's going to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and then he's going to go on to be the superstar that he knows he can be. And it was like, oh, okay, Apollo Crews has motivation.
Kind of makes sense.
I'm on board now.
Yeah.
Because I need that other than, why is he smiling so much?
Yeah. Guaranteed not to win now.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. He absolutely won't. But
Also, real quick, before we get to that, is how excited are you for Jason David Frank to be on Up, Up, Down, Down?
Yes.
The reaction of that video
was so it was I only saw the Facebook one, and I was at a stoplight when it pulled up, but it was because it was Woods, it was Kofi, and was it Cedric Alexander? I didn't recognize
someone
him.
Someone said Cedric in the comments, but I don't know for sure.
I couldn't, because I didn't recognize him with a shirt on. Yeah, like, because he had a shirt,
but he was a buff dude.
Yeah, because he had the shirt, he had the sweater, he had the glasses. It looked like the Cedric hair.
Yeah. I just want someone said Cedric.
I know he is a Power Rangers fan too, so it would make sense. And then just, Jason David Frink popping
Morphin
up.
Time.
It's Morphin Time. And then just walking off camera.
And then just them freaking out.
Screaming for 30 seconds.
They were so excited, and so am I. Like, that is a match made in heaven. Okay. Yeah. So that's going to be great. We'll talk about that on Nerd Up and here, maybe. So Stride was Saturday. Asa couldn't go because he was sick. I was sick as well, but I made the journey, and I'm glad I did, because they had their one-year anniversary show, and it was the best show I've been to so far. It was a lot of fun. We got El Fabuloso won the Legacy title. Go ahead and give us the results real quick.
All right, so the beginning, first segment, that was the contract signing between Roger and Hatton for their championship match. Turned into a brawl. It was 3-on-1 because, of course, Mafia, of course it was a 3-on-1. And then I almost got my head taken off twice because we were right by the entrance, and I turned to see if anybody was running, and
they almost bowled you over.
Yeah, Jay Spade almost killed me, and then Ace Hawkins almost killed me.
I managed to prod Ace Hawkins. I was like, "Where's the guyliner?" And he smiled. I knew he heard me.
Yeah. So you had that. It ended up being the Hatton, Spade, and Hawkins got the one up on him on that time. First match, we had the DR Party versus Eugene Drip and J.D. Wilk. It looked like JD and Eugene had that one won until Nathan Bragg low blowed.
Who was the ref?
Yeah, who was the ref?
You had another moment where you almost died.
Yeah,
because JD, the little daredevil that he is, decided to jump out of the ring on them. And as we see it coming, Dalton leans into me. I wrap my arms around him and I pull. Like, nope, come over here now.
And as JD said, I was really happy to see it was you guys and not a bunch of children in those seats.
Yeah,
and you know what? Say what you will about Lane Austin and his refereeing.
Oh yeah, no.
His shortcomings perceived that people will say. He's not doing this nonsense.
No, yeah,
no. He's not.
He's not low. He's not low blowing. He's not actively.
Yeah. DR Party. God.
Guess who likes the DR Party? Lee.
We should mention at this point that we did watch the show with our good friends from CCW, Leah Montgomery, Ken Murphy, and Jason Wells. Little Bit was there in her debut match against Sarah Summers.
Mardi Gras was there.
I'm so freaking sorry.
Yeah. So the DR Party did win, but that was because the referee turned. You then had Farmer, Billy Hills, and Chris Hargis versus Damage Inc. They are now called Maximum Overdrive, which I love that name. It looks like
Maximum Overdrive, that team is so good.
And that just sounds like a bad Boston's cover band that Axe is lead singing in, and they needed a bass player, and Scott was the only person that knew how to play bass in town.
He also has the hair for it.
The funny thing about that name is I literally, when I found out they changed their name, I just watched a review for the Stephen King movie Maximum Overdrive.
So Farmer and Hargis won only because Axe brought out the chain again. And clocked them both whenever they came to.
Lane didn't hear it.
I heard Farmer and Hart. Oh my God, I'm done. I'm happy that they won.
Chris.
I like them.
After the DQ.
I want to say real quick. My favorite moment of that match was we started chanting "Billy's gonna kill you" because we love Billy Hills. But then when I looked it up, I was like, "You want to chant for Chris?" He's like, "Yeah." So we chant, "Chris is gonna kill you," and he looks over and he goes, "Damn right."
So after the match, they come to Billy. Flat out said, "You either book another tag match or I want a street fight." And
he looks at us and he goes, "Street fight?"
Yeah, because then and then Sam, the GM, starts like just pussyfooting around. He's like, "Come Monday and I'll give you whatever you want." And Billy Hill's like, "We're here right now," and then looks at us again, "Street fight?
Street fight?"
Yeah, street fight. That's what we want.
If Dalton's skipping the 5 minutes that Billy was going, "Sam!"
He was Sam!
Yeah.
He was channeling his inner Regal.
We started yelling for Sam. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah, we felt bad for Sam.
We apologized to him afterwards. We're like, "We're so sorry." He came over and shook our hand. He's like, "Oh, that's good."
Yeah. You had the grudge match between Dalton Diamond and Cash Borden. Dalton Diamond did win that one. Then we had our intermission.
Very impressed with Cash Borden, by the way. I want to say that. Like, I know he looks...
I almost got smacked, or I was in the splash zone again.
Because he, again, did something crazy. But I thought Cash Borden was really... Dalton's really good, too. But I liked Cash Borden.
I like both those guys.
I do, too.
Yeah.
A lot.
I really hope those guys come to CCW.
Yeah. And then we had Sarah Summers versus the debuting Mardi Gras. Sarah Summers did win that one via roll-up. Mardi Gras...
Glitter
Damn
bomb.
It, why did you bring that much glitter?
Glitter bomb.
Especially since it glitter. Ended up in your own eyes instead.
Yeah.
And every wrestler afterwards
it ended up
go,
on everybody's yeah. gear.
What's up with all this glitter?
What's with the glitter?
And then yeah. damn you, Sarah, for hugging me after the match, which may coated me with glitter.
Yeah, that's the first time
there was,
I've been coated with glitter.
Then like the next day on Facebook, like 8 of us commented on Facebook about how we still had glitter on us. I wasn't even in the ring. That's how much glitter there was.
Can confirm Sarah's post about those kicks. Some of those kicks that Mardi Gras hit were brutal. Like
yeah.
there was one to the face that we all went, ooh.
Yeah.
Nasty.
And yeah, then we
that was actually – well, I actually did get to see a chunk of that match because I think it was Lee
yeah.
was doing Facebook Live, and I was watching it and seeing like hyper-aggressive
– Mardi Gras?
Mardi Gras.
That was good,
yeah.
wasn't it?
It was yeah. cool. Yeah, it was really cool. It was like, ooh, that's different. I like it though.
Yeah.
I like having fun Mardi Gras, but serious Mardi Gras was really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did the Sarah's gonna kill you chance and she just stops and then does the, I just want to let you guys know that I love you.
And Mardi Gras looked legitimately surprised because we're normally chanting that for her.
Yeah. Right.
And she yeah. was kind of like,
where's mine?
You guys.
Traitors.
And then we had the big six man, which was Mafia versus Hawk and Spade and Hatton. Big brawl, big match. Red Daniels did get the 1-2-3 on, I believe it was Spade.
Yeah, after he accidentally laid out Hatton.
Yeah.
Yeah, after Spade accidentally hit Hatton with a chair?
No, I think it was a knee. Wasn't he accidentally hit him in the face?
There's just such a difference between the two things.
Because the chair was involved. Somebody brought a
but
chair.
But the chair was out of it by then. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And of course, after the match, you once again, you have to get, it's you and the Mafia. It's like no, shut your mouth. You and the Mafia, it's like that scene from Friday when they go to get their bike back from Debo. And I'm your dad, and I get out of the car. You're on the ground, and I'm like, get your ass up, boy. Why you come messing with these people? You have to pick fights with the Mafia every time we're there.
Well, it's because, all right, so Red Daniels has this really, really bad habit of telling us how bad our podcast is and how bad we suck.
But he shares it.
But he shares it. And not only that.
I think that's a different guy, though.
That's... I don't
is
think,
it?
I don't know if it's Red. I don't think Red Daniels is the one that's sharing it.
Yeah, no, there's a guy named Dan Turnquist. Different
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. But
Dan seems nice.
Dan seems like a really nice guy. Red, I don't care for. Mainly because Red was the one that came up and told us our podcast sucks.
He sat behind us and said, when are you going to have me on your podcast? It sucks.
But right before that, he used me as a damn ring post.
He did.
To take out Ace Hawkins. So if I suck so bad, don't use me as a foreign object, Red.
And then, of course, Dalton got mouthy or he got eyebally, I don't know, and Jake Capone mean mugged him. So then I had to pull him aside and I almost stood up. I stood up and started to take the jacket off. I'm sick. I'm dying, but I have to protect my little friend. But before that happened, I forget what happened. Those guys came out and somebody distracted them, thank God.
It was the kids that were booing him.
Maybe.
yeah.
And maybe if Jake Capone just worried a little bit more about, well, shit, they've been winning matches, so I can't.
If
really
Jake
say
Capone
that.
Spent a little less time picking fights with us and getting a little bit more beauty sleep, he wouldn't look like the troll that lives under the bridge.
Ooh.
I mean, he's not
wrong. Oh, is that too much?
No, you're absolutely right. Jake Capone? Yeah, no. And then Red mouthing us off.
Just, Red's always mouthy.
Yeah.
He's a mouthy person.
And then
so
I also. So
is
yeah.
Jake, though.
So if you're listening to this show and you're listening to all this, I want you to go back to the show thread before where we announced this show. And then Red Daniels saying.
Boo.
Maul
your podcast.
Tell me if you are going to like us on
Facebook.
Yeah,
you obviously like there
you
our
go,
page.
And then
you
find
go.
Us.
You know what's a smart idea? Let's pick fights with them ahead of time.
Yeah.
So that way, the next time we go to the show, they can just walk right up to you and string you up.
Right. I just want to point out, Dalton's the one with glasses.
Dalton is the one that looks like he belongs in
I don't think people are
going to
think
video.
You're Dalton, Allie. Like, I know it's 2017, and we're not going to make these assumptions.
So the
you
main,
killed her. She's dead at this point.
The main event was El Fabuloso versus T Dog, mm-hmm. and
Travelson.
Which was such a good match. Lane takes a ref bump
and
was out for a while. It must he got hit.
He
pretty
might
hard.
Got hit in the chest. And
Lane
caught him in the pancreas.
That one was. That one was Shane and Asa, not the ones with glasses. Please don't come and talk to me the next CCW. So ref is down. Alexa Flood, for some reason, comes out with the chair again like she did last month and hits T-Dog. Fabuloso takes the chair from her and says, fair match, fair match. And then all of a sudden, Asa, you won't believe this. He loses the Spanish accent and says, T-Dog, I want you to know that I'm the one that did this to you.
Blast him in the face.
Blast him in the face.
Hard.
Lane counts a two, kicks out, hits him again, lays out T-Dog, out cold, wins the match. Second he does that, takes the mask off.
We didn't know who it was. It could have been anybody. It could have been it could have been Jason Vaughn. It could have been John Moxley.
Braun Strowman.
We had no idea who it could have been.
So he takes the thing off, which I knew by the voice. The second the accent was gone, which I can't believe he really wasn't from Mexico.
Well, yeah, no one could have seen this as being, this was Tony Flood.
It was Tony Flood.
I don't know that guy with the camera recording the show. He had an idea.
Yeah. So Sam comes out because obviously he fired him two shows ago.
Oh right. My God, Sam got so mad.
Yeah, Sam yelled. Sam's scary.
He
just
was
so
like,
you know.
He was yelling, I'm like, look at me.
Scared
like, he
was, Sarah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, Sarah.
I'm so bummed I missed this.
Yeah, Sarah was actually sitting behind us at the point of this match, whenever this match was going on. And he said, you know what? Well, first he said, or Tony Flood said, I got one over on you. Because I signed it Alejandro Fabuloso. Alejandro is
His contract.
Yeah, no, the contract.
He thought he signed it that way, but he actually signed it
because
Anthony Flood.
Because there's a big difference. There's not much of a difference between Anthony Flood and Alejandro Fabuloso.
Well, Alejandro's Anthony in Spanish, so he did sign that one.
Is Fabuloso Flood in Spanish?
No, but I mean, if you looked at my signature,
but it's one of those things where it's the argument that you know no one's signature actually looks like their name,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Tony Flood is back in stride, unfortunately, with the Legacy Championship. And Sam told him he's going to make his life a living nightmare.
Oh, I'm so mad I missed the show.
He said, he's like, I can make people challenge you. I don't have to bring them on one at a time.
Good news, Asa. They've already announced their next show.
Yeah,
yes. Tell us about their next show, and then
turmoil.
We got to get out of here.
Tag Team Turmoil. Right now, the only match we really have is DR Party, Sarah, Billy, Maximum Overdrive, and then the champions.
The Mafia.
That's going to be a four-way dog collar match. Yes, that is what it's looking like on my phone.
No, folks, that wasn't a pause in the show.
No, I had to read it properly. We will have Tony Flood, Chris Hargis, Hatton, JD Wilk, and Cash. They're all going to be in. And actually, let me check really quick on the Facebook page because I think I might have said one of the names wrong in the match, the dog collar match. Because
it's Team Triple X, Midwest Mafia, Maximum Overdrive, and Billy Hills and Sarah Summers on the poster.
Yeah, so it's going to be Team Triple X in the dog collar match. DR Party will be in action.
Of course
they
will.
I got those flipped around.
Of course they will. Thank God.
I apologize for that.
I can't wait for Little Arms to come out. I'm going to smoke them Little Arms.
Yeah, so April 8th, it's still going to be at the mall. The Hatton Mathis match, and this is something we didn't get to tell you, the contracts for a ladder match, it's not going to be at the mall. It's going to be somewhere else.
Tables, ladders, and chairs.
Oh, TLC match,
yeah.
Yeah. Also, I love, Dalton, that when you start talking about stride, you have to get right in front of the microphone and speak as loud as possible. So I constantly have to mess with your dial.
And I apologize for
that. Good God. All right, we got to get out of here. We done?
Yeah, we're done.
All right, love you guys so much. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with I'm getting flipped off. That's the sign. It's time to go. We'll be back tomorrow with Podzilla after dark. We don't have a topic yet, but it'll be wacky.
Yay.
Yeah. Forget about the plugs tonight. I don't want to do them. I just want to go home and eat.
Patreon.com/Podzilla1985.
No.
It's easy.
Dalton,
do
it.
We don't have time for Dalton to do it. Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. Any little bit we appreciate. Get your name on our website. We will plug anything for $10 within reason.
Terrible taken out of context.
Well, good thing I'm in the middle of a podcast with context. Thursday's tomorrow, Shannon.
Yeah, sorry.
Redbubble.com. So you can search for Podzilla 1985.
For now,
we are looking for better cheaper alternatives. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Give us a like. We're trying to do little previews, different stuff.
More interaction.
Yeah, more interaction on Facebook. Podzilla1985.com.
Go back and listen to the old episodes.
Yep.
And stay in tune with all of the newest ones. We do four shows a week. They're all good shows. They're good shows, Dalton.
I didn't say they weren't good shows. I'm on two of them.
Have a good night, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.